Today is our final day of talking about why the fact that Jesus loves the church. Jesus loves the church of Jesus Christ. And you and I are the church of Jesus Christ. Today I want to talk about this idea of reasons why we should love the church. And I don't just mean the local church made up of us who are gathered together, but the church of Jesus Christ throughout the world. You know what? One comment I hear sadly way too often from discontented people who really have lost sight of the reality of what we are as the body of Christ is this. They say, and I hear it too often, I love Christ, I love God, but I really hate the church. I don't like the church. I don't like the church thing, but I really love God and I really love Christ. And I would actually challenge anybody who ever says that. You cannot dislike the church of Jesus Christ and still love Christ properly. It's an impossibility. The two, simply biblically, they do not go together. It's an impossible connection to make. So, you know what? Because the church is the body of Christ, and therefore it is composed of every individual believer in this present age, because I'm going to talk about present age of people being alive, and is not just limited by membership to any local body of believers, any Christian grouping, any fellowship that we refer to as church, but is defined by this. It's defined by the grace of God in which we as individuals welcome into our life. It's His grace that you and I welcome into our lives, and then we commit to that as we respond in love to that which God shows all of us. He showed us things. If we have become a Christian believer, that means God has spiritually, supernaturally shown us things, and we have responded in our lives and our very being to that. And the result is this, that we are given eternal life. This whole connection, this whole idea that we are no longer just one, but we are connected with Christ, therefore connected to one another. So you know what? When you fall out with your fellow Christian believer, you are falling out with yourself. Because we are connected. When you fall out with a Christian believer and do not want to talk to that Christian believer ever again, happens, doesn't it? I've fallen out with people who I don't ever want to see their face again in my flesh. But I recognize this, we are one in Christ, therefore I've got to deal with the nonsense of my own bad attitude because we are connected as Christian believers. It's just how it goes. The supernatural joining together with other believers is not something that we need to accomplish, that is accomplished by our doing stuff, but it is that we have been infected with this most wonderful affliction called being Christian believers. It's an incredibly wonderful affliction that has gone on with us. It's an affliction because there's huge benefit. There's happiness, there's blessing, it's a godsend, it's an incredible thing. And then if we read Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 4 very specifically, but what we're going to talk about something. It talks about being one body of believers, one spirit, just as you are called to have one, being one hope, being called together as believers. Today I want us to look at actually the whole chapter of Ephesians chapter 4 by actually reading it together. Remember I talked about last Sunday, how last Saturday we went along to the Jewish synagogue for Ethan's bar mitzvah celebration, and part of a Jewish synagogue ceremony is there's lots of scripture read. So, in honor of God, in honor of the Word of God, I would like us all to stand, please. If you're able to, if you're more comfortable sitting, please remain sitting. If it's too uncomfortable to stand for any period of time, do remain seated if you'd like to. And the Ephesians chapter 4 is going to come up on the screen behind me. It's in the King James Version because we're yet to buy it in any other version for the computer yet there. And I would like us all to read that together, please. Can you kill me, please, David, on this microphone? Not literally kill me, not with a gun or a sword or anything, but just...
So let's do it together. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherever you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all, but unto every one of us given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ, wherever he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captives to captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but he is also descended into the lower parts of the earth? And he that descended in the same also as descended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may he grow up into him in all things which is the head,
even Christ,
from whom the whole body together joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplies,
according to the effectual working in the measure of every part,
make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify the Lord, that ye henceforth walk, not as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the same darkness, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of sin.
Who being past being have given themselves over to lasciviousness, the world of all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and let ye put on the new man, which after God is
created in righteousness and truth and holiness.
Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth in his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun
sake has forgiven you. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. Isn't it awesome? It's actually really cool, isn't it? It is hard. King James Version. For any of you lovers of the King James Version, that was for you. Okay. For some of us, it is hard work reading the King James Version. Okay, then. So in verse 4 of that, it said this: there is one body of believers and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when called to salvation. You know what? The body of Christ, when you read that scripture there, it really talks about the body of Christ is therefore entirely a divine undertaking. That it means it's something that is a spiritual divine thing. It comes from God. It's an undertaking of God and not a matter of our own human achievement, because we have to recognize it's a supernatural thing, the very ability that you and I, from all corners of the world, from all different interests, from as various people, that we can come together as the body of Christ as believers and actually like one another. That is a supernatural thing, because you know what? If you get a group of people, you know, if you get 100, 150, 200 people from all parts of the world together of different age groups, different things, and it's just a social gathering which has no real defined thing, it's a struggle to get on together. God has done something supernatural. It's His divine work that enables this to happen. And it should also be obvious that the variety and the sometimes the difficulties and the complexities that we see in church, though it may be difficult at times, difficult to understand, the reality of this unity is, however, it doesn't in any way diminish the reality of biblical truth. There's incredible biblical truth in the Church of Jesus Christ, even amongst the difficulties that we have of personalities and differences coming together. The biblical truth is we need to meet together as the Church of Christ. Simple as that. At the end of the day, biblical truth is exactly that. It is the truth. And as such, it does not do us well to say the opposite to it or challenge its power or its authority. You know what? I've learned over the years now, of over 37 years of being a Christian believer, I've learned to be a grateful member of the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm incredibly grateful for the various expressions of church, the structure of church. I don't mean the building of structure, but the structure of people coming together in its various forms that Bo and I have experienced over the years. In New Zealand and here in Kenya, and the blessing of being able to go around quite a few places in the world and see church at all sorts of different ways. I am so grateful, because when the church really loves Jesus Christ like it should do, there is no place on earth that is like the Church of Jesus Christ if we truly do it as God wants us to do it. I don't know about you, but I've been hurt by people in church. But you know what? Christ has also healed me to the people of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's how it goes. When a local church is in love with Christ, it shows up in the most amazing and transformational actions that we could ever possibly imagine. A church that really loves Christ is one that will love each other and our community in deep, sacrificial ways. You know what? It's a most wonderful thing to see the Church of Jesus Christ loving community in real action. So I just want to touch on a few things this morning. We should love the church because of a number of things I just want to mention. We need to love the church because it glorifies God. Us loving the church glorifies God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 says this: "So then, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of our great God." Now, the Apostle Paul is addressing an issue in the church at Corinth, and then he uses this here to define something. Basically saying in everything you and I do, literally everything, every single thing that you can possibly imagine that you are going to do today, do it all to the glory of God. Everything, do it to the glory of God, because He is in everything. We are not getting on with our lives and we plug Christianity onto it. That's not how it goes. It is all one. The true concept of us as believers is that our life is all one and God is in everything, with us, carrying with us, being with us, involved in us in everything we do. Glorifying God means giving Him all the honor and all the praise for all things and holding Him up to a high place of honor in our lives, in our hearts. Why should we glorify God? Well, here's some good reasons. He's the creator of everything. That's a pretty good reason, including us as individuals. He alone deserves the glory for all the good things we see and that we experience. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 5 and 8 says this. This is what God the Lord says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its produce, who gives breath to the people on it, spirit to those who walk on it. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will not be given to another, nor my praise to carved idols. He deserves to be glorified because He is the great creator. But you know what? Being glorious is part of God's very nature. And when we give Him glory, we are acknowledging this, that we recognize His glorious nature. When we love the church of Jesus Christ, we are giving glory to God. 1 Chronicles 16, verses 28 and 29. Splendor and majesty are found in His presence. Strength and joy are found in His place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and honor and strength. You see, glorifying and loving God are basically exactly the same thing. In John chapter 14 verse 15, Jesus says, if you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments. If you really love me, if you really truly love me, you will keep my commandments. You know what? So glorifying God means we obey Him. We obey actually what He says. We read the scriptures tell us something, we go ahead and obey it. If God speaks to us and reveals things to us and commands us to do things, we get on and we do exactly as that which God commands us to do. Living our lives according to His principles for life that we find all the way through the scriptures. Psalm 19 verse 7 says this, the law of the Lord is perfect. The Amplified, I love what it says in the Amplified, it says in brackets, flawless. The law of the Lord is perfect. It is flawless. There is nothing. There is no wrong in it. There's no mistakes in it. It's only mistakes in our head because we cannot comprehend the things of God or by nature, our rebellious selves go, he's wrong there. Actually, it is totally flawless. There is nothing wrong with the things of God, with the commands of God. It goes on to say that, this in Psalm 19. So the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring and refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are reliable and trustworthy, making wise the simple. Then this leads Paul on to make this comment in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. He says this, so eat your meals heartily, not worrying about what others may say about you. See, I'm picking up, adding a bit onto what that scripture was I read before. You're eating to God's glory, after all, not to please Him. As a matter of fact, do everything that way, heartily and freely to God's glory. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And then the next couple of verses, they go on to talk about how we should live our lives in a way that always puts others before ourselves. You know what? And Jesus Christ was certainly incredibly selfless, and his life is an incredibly great example to us. You know what? If you want to know how to live your life, look at the way Jesus lived his life. Husbands, if you want to know how to treat your wives, look at how Christ treated the church and loved the church. And then you can't go wrong. Hear a whole lot of amens from the ladies on that one. Girls, that was just your incredible opportunity there to go, yes, that's exactly right. Listen to him. But because you didn't respond like that, that means all of you men are doing an incredible job with your wives. See, glorifying God talks about action. It talks about actually not being passive. It talks about action. So how do you know if I'm glorifying God? Well, let's apply what I've just read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31. Whatever you to do, whatever it is that you are doing, you need to be giving God the glory inside of it. It's a pretty good indication. God is holy, yeah? He is faithful, he is merciful, he is loving. He's filled with grace for others. So glorifying God means that we live out these same attributes in our lives. If we've been made in the image of God, if we have now welcomed God into our lives, if we agree to this, that God is holy, he is faithful, he is merciful, he is loving, he's filled with grace for others. Yeah? I want you all to be in class and say, yes, I agree with that teacher. Put your hand up if you agree with me. Yeah? Okay, some of you don't agree. Okay. If this is the case, glorifying God means that we live out these same attributes in our own lives, in the outliving of our own lives. Or at least we try most of the time, even some of the time, to do exactly that. Not always easy, is it? Agree? It's not always easy to be graceful to some people. True? I'm very glad I was never a violent man. When I was young, I've actually never had a punch up in my life. I know I'm built like I could really sort somebody out, couldn't I? I have blagged my way out of all sorts of situations. Gone, yeah, you ready, are you? You're ready for this, are you? You know, look like a mob. You're ready for this, are you? And guys have gone, okay, no. I thought, thank goodness for that, because I don't even know how to look after myself. I've actually thought about going to self-defense lessons. Just in case. Tim's trying to get me to go along to do Krav Maga. Well, the only trouble with that is that competitive part of me would most probably want to outwork some of that ability to use Krav Maga on people. So I've gone, no, I won't do that at all. It's not always going to be easy to try and live and glorifying God in all we do. And at times we mess up, but that's okay. You know, as long as we get back up, keep fighting our sinful nature, trading it for God's glorious nature instead, you know what? We will be glorifying God. We will be glorifying God. So why should I love the church? Well, I should love the church. You and I should love the church because it's a great witness to the world around us. One of the greatest things that Christ, the church, can ever do is love one another. John 13:35 says this, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love and unselfish concern for one another. I love that. Unselfish concern for one another. We must remember that the world is watching us, the church, and therefore there really should be a great sense of genuine Christian love being shown and expressed through our lives and what we do. Psalm 133 verse 1 says this, behold and how good and how pleasant it is for brothers, meaning believers, to dwell together in unity. That means you ladies as well. It's not just the men, but it's the context of that is believers. You know what? When selfless love is present, guess what goes close on behind that? Unity is the thing that follows on straight on after it. Why should I love the church? Well, it creates an atmosphere of vibrant and meaningful worship. Let me explain why. When love and unity are present in the body of Christ, it definitely makes the corporate worship environment more powerful and way more substantial. Notice all the times the word us is used in this following verses I'm going to read out. I'm just going to read a few verses out of Psalm 95. It's verses 1 and 2 and 6 and 7. Listen to this. Oh, come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with a song of thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with songs. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker in reverent praise and prayer. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. The us in these verses is us, the body of Christ, coming together to truly praise and honor and worship our mighty God. Unity, unity, unity. So why should I love the church? Well, I should love the church because it promotes genuine care and concern among the body of Christ. If we truly love one another, because we are the church, it will truly build care and concern just out of a natural extension of who we are and what we should be as the people of God. It shouldn't be just down to a few that reach out in love and care. It shouldn't be down to the few like Mick who reach out in love and care with anybody who's got a situation going on. See, God has honored Mick and put him into the position now of had incredible influence in our town because, you know what, of his love and his care for other people. Want to be used of God? Love and care for other people. It's as simple as that. God can't help but do something about it. When we love someone genuinely, we take time to care for them and minister to them. When true Christian love is present amongst us, the church, the body of Christ, it will do a good job of taking care of one another. And that's how marriage should be, taking care of one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, when we could no longer endure our separation from you, we thought it best to be left behind alone in Athens. So we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's servant in spreading the good news of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you, exhorting, comforting, and establishing you in regard to your faith. You know what? We should be people who are full of comfort, of exhortation, and of love and concern towards each other and receive it from one another also, and to the world around us. What we see here is that proper love leads to a proper care and concern in the body of Christ. So why should I love the church? I should love the church because you know what? It fosters church growth. Yeah, it fosters church growth. People want to be in a place where they are loved. Anybody want to be in a place where they are not loved? Nope. Anybody wanting to be a place where you're just cussed and nobody at all. Nobody wants to be in a place full of moaning and groaning and backbiting and judgment and bitching and fighting and carrying on. Nobody does, do they? Oh, is everybody right that I said bitching? You know what? People want to know that no matter what, someone will be present to listen to them, to care for them, and share the truth of God's word with them. Why should I love the church? Because it breeds excitement. People should, you know what? You and I should long to come together as the church. Should long to. This should be the highlight of our lives. as Christian people is coming together. And it doesn't matter whether that's on a Sunday morning, that doesn't matter if it's during the night, a night during the week at life groups, whatever it may be, sitting down with other believers in a coffee shop, just having a cup of coffee together, sitting down next Sunday afternoon and having a picnic together and a bit of fun together, gathering together at Ethan's birthday, a bar mitzvah party last night, just as Christians coming together as a family of God. No one wants to attend a church that is lifeless and cold. When love and healthy sense of pride are present in the church, people want to be there. There's nothing wrong to be proud of the local church. Nothing at all. Why should I love the church? Well, because it puts the focus where it belongs. Without a question, the focus of local church should be on God and other people and not ourselves. It should be about we, not about me. In marriage, I tell you what, in marriage, if you live by this one alone, I tell you what, marriage would be a lot better. You've got to be more concerned about the we instead of the me. If you're concerned more about what is good for us as a whole, you'll deal with the rubbish in your own life that makes it about me. Yeah? Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 5 says this: do nothing from selfish or empty conceit through factional motives or strife, but with an attitude of humility, being neither arrogant nor self-righteous. Regard others as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have the same attitude in yourself which was in Christ Jesus. Look to him as your example in selfless humility. And then finally this: the church should be a place marked by grace and truth, a place where we accept people as they are, but we tell them like it is. You know what? I love you all, but I tell you what, if you tick me off, I'm going to tell you. And if I see you doing stuff that is morally wrong, and I'm aware of it, you know what? I'm not going to let it go on. If I am aware of it. If I'm aware of it, I will not just let it go on. I'm going to go, oi, come on, this is not good enough. A place where we accept people as they are, but tell them like it is. Love never waters down the truth, but rather embraces the truth and genuinely flows from it. Biblical love goes beyond human emotion and reaction, and it enters and it is absorbed in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Love is a sacrifice. Love is a choice. Ultimately, love is expressed as this. It's expressed as grace. Love is truth. Love is Christ. And Christ, guess what? He is the head of the church. Amen? Amen. And we are the church of Jesus Christ. You know what? We need to make it our ambition to excel more in our faith and in our love. And as we seek to truly be the body of God, Christ God intends for us to be, when the local church is in love with Christ, it shows up in the most amazing and transformative actions. A church that really loves Christ is one that will love each other and the community in deep and sacrificial ways. It is more wonderful, it is a most wonderful thing to see a loving church in action. And that's why you and I need to love the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for this incredible thing called the church of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we are joined together in a most wonderful, divine way, an incredible, incredibly amazing way that brings us together. Lord, help us to be those that will recognize how we contribute. How we contribute in all ways possible. Help us to be those who love the church of Jesus Christ. Amen.